The Old Testament reading is from Proverbs chapter 25, starting at verse 2. It's the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. As the heavens for height and the earth for depth, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. Take away the dross from the silver, and the smith has material for a vessel. Take away the wicked from the presence of the king, and his throne will be established in righteousness. Do not put yourself forward in a king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, "Come up here," than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. What your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secret, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at the first verse. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." So we can confidently say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest is as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and hear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to be good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Luke, the 14th chapter. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then they took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on the Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" They could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the place of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invites you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this person,' and then you will begin with shame to take the lower place. But when you are invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he also said to the man who had invited him, When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. One of the great privileges that I have is to preside over the sacraments and the word. Sacraments are real easy, baptism and communion, because it's God doing all the work there. My job gets interesting when it comes to the interpretation of the word, and especially difficult coming from a Lutheran tradition. We use a lectionary series in church, which means the readings have been pre-picked for us, and they rotate every 3 years. So we have an appointed Old Testament, appointed Psalm, and one of Paul's epistles, usually Paul's epistles, all right, and then a gospel lesson. Now, if you attend church on a pretty regular basis over the course of 3 years, you're basically going to hear all the gospel, all four gospels read, and then quite a bit of the epistles and a fair portion of the Old Testament. Even our Catholic, Methodist, Episcopalian, and Presbyterian brothers and sisters follow the same lectionary series. So the church as a whole has the same readings each week. Part of the reason is it keeps us from just focusing on the warm and fuzzy parts of the Bible. We Lutherans divide the Bible up between law and gospel. The law is what we're supposed to be doing, and the gospel is what Christ has done for us. Whether it's the law of the Old Testament or even the law of Christ, it convicts us of our sins. We look at what God expects and we realize we come up very short. Deep down, beyond a shadow of a doubt, we realize we cannot do what we should be doing. Excuse me. But even though we are sinners, we are still loved and forgiven. You know, it's possible to come to church, just hope to sing some hymns that you know, listen to some readings, minding your own business. But then when the pastor gets talking, I know I've told this story, but it fits. Baptist pastor was up there preaching about the evils of alcohol. And old Betsy in the back yelled, "Amen, pastor, give it to him." Then he started to talk about the evils of gambling. And old Betsy yelled out, "Give it to him, pastor, amen." Then he says, "Now let's talk about gossiping." Then Betsy stood up and says, "Now, pastor, you're going too far now." Billy Graham said that one of his hardest tasks when he had to discuss the law and the gospel was to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Martin Luther put it a little differently. He said every time he got up to preach, he couldn't help that he was nothing more than a bag of worms and he didn't belong in the pulpit. I sometimes have that feeling because guess what, folks? I'm not perfect. I know my family would disagree with me on that one. No? Okay. Now, the words of Christ apply to all of us. And Jesus has some very serious things to say about life and death. He'd been invited to dinner by one of the leading members of the Pharisees. And I like how it's put immediately in that first verse, and they were watching him carefully. Is he going to do something that we can jump on and be critical of him? He healed on the Sabbath. And they constantly, the rabbis debated this. You know, if your son fell into a well, wouldn't you help him? Some rabbi says, no, you wait till the next day. Most of them said, no, this is an exception. Yes, they would argue these minor little hypothetical points. But the point is they're trying to trap Jesus with something he's going to say or does. Then, right at the end, Jesus scolds the host of the dinner for who he invited to the dinner itself. Jesus certainly would not have been a candidate for most popular. The people loved him because he healed them, he fed them, he taught them, But mostly I think the crowds came because he healed them. All right? The Pharisees, though, the vast majority of them, hated him. Hated him to the point where they nailed him to a cross. And I'm convinced that if Jesus was to walk on the earth again, like he did 2,000 years ago, there'd be an awful lot of people yelling to crucify him again based on some of the stuff he says. But our lesson today is something deeper than just about humility. There's a seat at the banquet table that we all have to sit in at one point or another, and that's the seat of death. We all have an appointment with death. We know this. But that is the only way, then, that we can be ushered into the great banquet that is in heaven. Jesus is at a dinner with all the important people, all the establishment types. And what he's basically saying is this: you all think you are successful because you are living this extremely short life at the head of the table at the top. And if you for one moment think that is what true living is about, then you will be ashamed. However, if you can accept the fact that part of life is dying, and then you trust in your Father's promises, you will come to learn that true living is about sacrifice for those around you. And then you will someday see my glory at the higher places. There's another side to this gospel lesson. Jesus is telling the Pharisees and us today, stop being bookkeepers. And by bookkeepers, I'm not talking about, you know, the bean counters, or I should be a little polite, accountants. I'm not talking about that type of a bookkeeper. I'm talking about the type of bookkeeper that says, I keep track of what you've done to me, what I've done for you, what do you owe me, what do I owe you, and that's how they keep a list. You know, who has caused them harm in life, and they don't forget it. Now, we've been reading the book of Luke for quite some time, and Jesus has been critical of those who want to be first, those who want to be big, big important people, being rich, and even being alive. Now he's going after the bookkeepers. Human beings are addicted to remembering the score. Like I said, it's what we're owed by other people and what we owe them and who did what to whom. We like to sort people out between friend and foe, rich and poor, nice and naughty, winners, losers, good and bad. Jesus, in a sense, permanently lays off the bookkeeping department. Excuse me. Sometimes we think the only way to keep God happy to keep our lives in order, so that when our life books are audited, all the numbers come up correct of who owes what to whom. We're so busy. We get so busy in this bookkeeping part of our lives that we miss out on one of the best seats at the banquet table. And being a bookkeeper and thinking that is what life is about is just one more thing that can't save you. Jesus is saying to them and to us here and now, look, I'm on my way to Jerusalem to die so you can be saved, free for nothing. So what's the point of you keeping records on others and on yourselves when I'm not? I came not to judge the world, but save it. And I will not count your record against you, only your faith and what I say, only your faith. So stop focusing on who owes what to whom. Invite those who cannot invite you back. Do it from the heart, not from a balance sheet. And I previously mentioned that we're all messed up. But because of sin, we are part of the crippled, the lame, and the blind. Jesus calls you and I to the banquet table of forgiveness and life everlasting, week after week. Week after week, he invites us to that table. And we must do the same. Forget about keeping score. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. I'm not trying to sound harsh, but I'm trying to preach a message of freeing people up. Once I realize that I deserve condemnation for my sins, Then I became a lot less judgmental, I hope, and pray about other people. Realizing, too, that everybody else is in the same boat as I am, under the condemnation of God for not doing what I'm supposed to, but loved by Christ and saved by Christ's death on the cross. Now I can focus my efforts on loving God and serving others. That's where the abundant life comes from, in service to other people. Someday, sitting in that last final seat, the seat of death, will you try to approach the throne of grace with a list of all the good things you've done? Well, if you do, it won't be enough. Or we can stand in the midst of the heavenly feast, humble before a God who has thrown away the books at your baptism and simply says to us here and now, come, your name is written in the book of life. Not because of what you've done or not done, but because of Christ Jesus and my love for you. Thanks be to God for that. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.